What's going on, everybody? This is Dr. Chris Featherstone, and this is the Legion of Raw. I'm here with Vince Russo here once again. I'm going to adjust my camera for real quick, but in the meantime, go ahead and let the listeners know how you are doing and what you thought of Raw initially.
I am wrestled out, everybody. I am exhausted from Saturday, Sunday, and tonight. Just a lot of wrestling to take in over a three-day period. I don't know how these marks do it, man. I don't know. I mean, guys, you know, you guys know I love baseball. And, bro, like, I constantly get baseballed out where, you know, I'll watch a bunch of games and then, like, I just need to take a break from baseball. Bro, these 3 days, the hours I spent watching wrestling and talking about wrestling, I am absolutely exhausted. But I did make a comment last night, man. Everybody that followed Sports Keter over the weekend, I put over that main event huge. I put over the cashing in the Money in the Bank huge. I even said that the finish of last night's match was better than anything I ever booked. I said they did a fantastic, wonderful job, but I also said, bro, on my Twitter today, the Raw after WrestleMania is the biggest show of the year.
Yeah.
Because you know you are going to have a huge audience tune in, and you've got to hook that audience so they come back next week.
Yes.
Unfortunately, the WWE did not do that tonight. This was a massive swing and a miss. And it was almost, bro, they had to be so careful with this because the first segment, bro, with Rock and Cody was 45 minutes when Rock basically said, I'm going to be going away for a while. I got to be honest with you, bro. When Rock said that, I really feel a good portion of the audience said the same exact thing, because if they would have hung around for the rest of this show, we were back to where we were before The Rock ever set foot in the WWE. And to me, as a writer and somebody who did it for many, 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 many years, it is a major, major, major swing and a miss, Chris.
Yeah, so there was a lot of emotion. It was a movie. It was lots of theater that came with WrestleMania, and lots of emotion that came with that. And I was a fan. I was a big fan of a lot of what I saw with WrestleMania, and it just seems like the momentum was coming as far as Raw after WrestleMania. I've said this week after week. Raw after WrestleMania is one of the only Raws of the year where you literally have a worldwide crowd. Every other Raw is local. You'll get local or surrounding cities usually that comes to Raw. But this is kind of like a remnant of the WrestleMania crowd, and you're literally having people from all around the globe coming to WrestleMania. So if there's any, I tweeted this. I said, if there's any time you need to cater to the house, it would be this week because of the excitement of of the energy that's coming with the Raw, especially what we saw yesterday and this past weekend as a whole. But you didn't even really cater to the house. You didn't really excite the fans as far as reactions are concerned. So I, unfortunately, man, after really liking what I saw with night two, especially that one was okay. Night two, especially there were like the pace and the energy was coming from WrestleMania into Raw, Raw after WrestleMania, did the whole Triple H thing, did the Cody promo, and then it just kind of fell right back into the same weekly episodic content creation that we've seen, you know, in the Vince era. You know, it was an NXT showcase, which I really
and Chris, this must be, guys, I don't watch NXT. I tried watching NXT. To me, it's no different than watching AEW. I'm not interested in NXT. Chris, this is about, I swear to God, it seems like the 10th year in a row where the show after WrestleMania, they showcase NXT talent. Mm-hmm. Has any of that NXT talent ever gotten over? Like, at what point do you say, man, we've done that for the last 5 years? I mean, it was, what was her name with Shayna Baszler last year?
Zoe Stark.
Yeah, I'm almost positive it was Zoe Stark last year and somebody else. You do this year after year after year, and you get nobody from NXT over. And right after we have that 45-minute segment, we've got Nakamura against Ilya Dragunov. Like, are you freaking kidding me, bro? Yeah. So again, now we're going right back to the casual fans looking at, okay, bro, so Ilya Dragunov looks like just like another wrestler, just like all the other wrestlers. That's how we're going to start this thing, bro? Yeah. Really?
Market research, man. I mean, that's what it's all about. It's about understanding just the trends and what's happened in the past and how you can not make the same mistake twice. Or three times or four times, but it just seems like this is a yearly thing for WWE just to have an NXT showcase as if anybody really cares. You can tell because of the crowd, as soon as they start showcasing NXT, they just start going down and down and down. And so the crazy part about this is that, one, you're not even giving them like a promo to make them feel big. You can't assume that a third of the people who watch Raw watch NXT every week. So you're only catering to one third of the audience. So you have to, I've said this before, you have to make two thirds of the audience care about this person being showcased right now. Otherwise, you're only catering to a third of the audience. And so when you're bringing in people like Ilya Dragunov, when you're bringing people in like Roxanne Perez, who are the NXT champions, you're having them beat main roster stars just to go back on NXT, and they're not coming on the main roster. It's just a simple showcase. I didn't understand how that made sense coming from the heels of WrestleMania. You need to start building stories at this point.
Bro, this is what I'm talking about, and this is what I talked about last night with Bill and Joe. My God, bro, we know, Chris, we know it is clear they put a lot of time into the booking of WrestleMania. You and I, we put it over to nauseam. I could not put it over any more than I did. Why do we take 10 steps backwards the next day, guys? You got to take 10 steps forward. It's pivotal.
Yes.
And you go in freaking reverse, man.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Come on, bro. This is where I get so upset with the WWE creative.
Yeah.
I mean, bro, it's not okay, bro. WrestleMania main event, and then it's over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's how I felt this thing was booked, Chris. During these matches, I'm looking to see what's over on YouTube because I got no interest in any of this crap. I didn't do that during day two of WrestleMania.
Yeah. Yeah, and I was hoping I saw something, man. Like, I was like, man, give me something story-wise. The Cody Rock thing was just a long, drawn-out promo that didn't mean anything. I'm like, man, look, give me something like Triple H. You know, Cody loves him some Triple H. Have Triple H celebrate with Cody and raise his hand and clothesline him or low blow him, or I know that he can't do much as far as in ring. And then that's when Triple H brings in someone. If you want to showcase an NXT person, have Triple H be the one to bring him in and showcase them that way. And just have that person be the next person to, you know, have a feud with Cody Rhodes until they work their way back up to Rock. Give me something different.
Bro, man. I swear to you, Chris, and this was Bill Apter last night. Bill Apter said this. What is he, 97 years old? Bill Apter said this. And they're trying so hard to compare this to the Attitude Era. Mm-hmm. Bill Apter actually laid out the Attitude Era, the influence it should have had on tonight's show.
Yeah.
What the Attitude Era would have done, and I am giving credit to you, Bill, this was not my idea. What the Attitude Era should have done, bro, was Cody's in there celebrating, they're playing the video, the whole nine yards. Here comes the Rock, you hit the Rock music. Mm-hmm. And the Rock says, what didn't you understand? It was bloodline rules, which means the bloodline was allowed to get involved in the match. Not John Cena,
yeah.
Not The Undertaker.
There you go.
So therefore, you know, as the CEO, whatever Rock's title is, I am stripping you of that title right here, right now. Ooh. But the kind of guy that I am, we're going to do it again.
Wow.
And we're going to do, like, that's Attitude Era, bro. Yeah, that's Attitude Era, not 45 minutes. Bro, I got to tell you this too, Chris, because I'm so close to buying a noose and taking my own life through these shows.
Every time you say that, I say you have a therapist right next to you.
Okay, Chris, it is starting to drive me crazy with these 15-minute entrances, Chris. I can't take it anymore. We've said it, Chris. It's great for the house if you're at the show.
Yeah.
If you are watching this on television, bro, enough. Now, bro, they're getting into a thing now where everybody's entrance is 10 to 15 minutes, bro. Man. Sami Zayn, Seth Rollins, Cody Rhodes. My God, bro, this is excruciating, bro.
Yeah. You know, my thing is WrestleMania, I give it a pass because
I'm with you.
Right? Yeah, but at the same time, you can't, and that's the thing, man. You start to get into this frequency illusion type of deal, and once you stop making something look like an anomaly, it will be appreciated less, you know, and a lot of times when you keep doing, like, that comes with spots too. I mean, there were like 80 million super kicks this past weekend. The same today. And it's like,
and how many times did they clear the announcer's table? Yes. We saw that, bro. There had to have been between the 2 days and today, they had to clear that announcer's table at least 10 times.
It was quite a bit. It was excessive. It was definitely excessive. And you gotta, I mean, less is more when it comes to that, man. You gotta keep us wondering, gotta keep us thinking, gotta keep us on our toes. Just ad nauseum super kicks don't keep us on our toes. Ad nauseum table spots don't keep us on our toes. Going right back to the same Raw format don't keep us on our toes, because at the end of the day, you can't hype something up in the beginning of the show just to go right back to how it was, man. I just, again, like I said, give me stories. Give me something riveting. Give me something compelling. Give me a title change. Give me a reverse. Give me something that's going to launch the new Raw, the new season, so to speak, of Raw. I know that, you know, Raw is all year round, but that Raw after Mania is really like the start of a new season. And you got to hit as hard with the new season big moment to get us coming to the next time, to the next week. Otherwise, is this going to feel like the old season, man?
What did we talk about last week, Kurtz? We talked about, we're going to get Sami Zayn and Chad Gable. We talked about that. Now we're going to get Liv Morgan and Rhea Ripley. Like, Liv Morgan is really going to beat Rhea Ripley. So now you're going to waste our time with that, bro. Yeah, it's let's put all our eggs in one basket. Let's, you know, put all these great creative minds together after WrestleMania. And then guess what, bro? We'll take off the rest of the year till next year's WrestleMania.
And it was clear, Vince, that they still have it. Like when put their minds into it, they have it.
Yes. You know what I mean? Yes. So
it's clear. It's clear.
Yes. Yeah. They proved when they want to do it, they can do it. My question is, why don't you want to do it every week? It's like a sports team, Chris. Oh, we'll go out there and we'll play hard today, and then we'll just take tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll lay an egg the next week.
Who who does that, bro?
I'm with you, man. I'm with you. I'm with you. Who lays an egg the next week because they had a good week? You know, I saw this past weekend. I saw tonight, and I said, effort, man, effort. I mean, that's what it boils down to, effort. You showed me that you still have it when it comes to producers. I was, you know, I was given intel from backstage that Bobby Roode assisted with the main. And I'm like, man, there's your guy right there. I mean, Michael Hayes, you know, was a part of it, but Michael Hayes has been there a long time. It seems like Bobby Roode's the heir apparent, man. And I'm like, give it to him. Like, if you want to have him start producing those heavy spots, those big money spots, give it to him, man. Let him do it, because he showed, you know, the main event of night two showed that he's got something there. And I think once you put him and give him those big spots, you got to do something major, man. It definitely seems as if Vince McMahon, with him not there, you know, the reins have been taken off as far as being so helicoptery and giving people more freedom and stuff like that, which is good. But give it to them, though. Like, allow them to use the freedom that they have to book really in compelling spots instead of thinking about same old formulaic stuff that we see every week. So,
yeah.
All right, let's get into these super chats before we go one by one here. Segment by segment. Zubair, first super chat for the Raw after WrestleMania. The story now awaiting the fans' turn on Cody. I mean, what's the over-under there, Vince? Say, for instance, okay, you know I like doing over-unders with you. Survivor Series is 7 months from now. So over-under that the fans will turn on
under.
Cody. Under,
you think? Oh, so? God, way under 7 months.
You think, what do you think? Like, where would you pinpoint the fans going full blown, you know, rogue on Cody?
Towards the end of the summer, beginning of September.
Got you. So, yeah. SummerSlam around SummerSlam time,
yeah, once
the fall, I can see it, man. Like I said before, I don't, as far as this fan's concerned. Sami Zayn, Kofi Kingston, you know, Seth Rollins, you know, Cody's just that new person that the fans are pushing. And what's the difference between him and all the other names that I just mentioned as far as the fans losing interest in them? So, especially if it's the same, what do you want to talk about, promo, insert whatever heel here.
And that's the way, Chris, that's exactly the way they set it up. Yeah. Whoever Cody's first opponent is, he's not going to lose. They're not going to beat Cody. We know all the hoopla, bro, the last year. Finish the story. You think really the first opponent is going to be Cody? So right off the time, you're wasting our time. He's not... You've made this so predictable. That was the beautiful thing, like with Austin and stuff, bro. Like, Austin had the title, but Vince was constantly trying to get it off of him. So constantly stacking the deck. So now you're tuning in every week. How the heck is Stone Cold going to get out of this one? You don't have that here, bro. So whoever that first opponent's going to be is going to be very, very, very predictable.
For the sake of feeling, for the sake of not feeling monotonous with the insert heel here, do you think it's time to have a heel authority again, just to have that type of ongoing feud against Cody?
It wouldn't hurt, bro. It absolutely would not hurt.
Especially with Cody looking up to Triple H so much. No, like he idolizes Triple H. And so why not Triple H, you know, help him celebrate and be the one, you know, to be opposed, you know, against him for so long. You know, there's so much story when it comes to that. Yeah. Then you can pull in names from whenever to make them feel important to be that. I mean, you want to talk about Vince McMahon pulling in names, you know, to go against Austin time after time. I mean, you have a Bronson Reed, you know, I mean, you have people like that who can be used, you know, in Triple H's to be thrown, but it would make more sense though. You know, I mean, it would make more sense as far as you're having a clique of people to be thrown to Cody to make more sense there instead of just inserting
Chris,
the heel.
Chris, think about this. Listen, man, I consider Nick Aldis a friend, and I'm very happy that Nick's got a spot and he's getting paid. Well, I'm very, very happy for Nick, but I'm going to ask you one simple question, Chris. One simple question. What do two baby faces GM do for the show?
Yeah.
What does that do for the show? What does that add for the show when you got two babyface GMs running the show? Yeah. You want the freaking Eric Bischoff, bro. You want the guy that if you piss him off, now he's going to try to screw you, bro. Now the deck is going to be, you want that. Otherwise, it just makes everything so darn predictable.
Yeah, it does. And another thing that I was questioning, Vince, and I'm interested in your take on this. What did I do with SmackDown as far as their world champion? Because both of the world champions are on the Raw brand now.
Who well, they did the draft. They're doing the draft in a couple of
weeks. Oh, that's right. The 29th.
Yeah. Well, I cannot believe they're still doing this draft when anybody gets to go play. I still can't. Bro, I swear to God, they do the draft. They don't pay any attention to it. The only reason they're doing it, bro, is for a ratings grab.
Sure.
And people still buy into it. They still buy into it, bro.
Yeah, I mean, Gabe Steveson, didn't he get like a top 10 pick last year or something like that?
I don't even. All I know is the Damage Control. They're on SmackDown. Then they're on Raw every week and back. Like, oh my God, bro. Come on.
Yeah, I think Gabe Steveson got like a top 10 pick last year. And you have not on Raw. I think he got drafted the Raw, if I'm not mistaken. And you have not seen him not one time in the past year on Raw.
Yeah.
And it really doesn't matter with this draft, man. It was just absolutely pointless. So let's do the I'm gonna set the draft real quick. Last year, like the first few rounds. Raw got Ripley, SmackDown got Austin Theory. Number one pick for SmackDown last year.
Who did the picking, bro? Oh, my God. Fire them, bro.
Raw got Rollins. SmackDown got Flair. Brock was announced as a free agent by Triple H. Round two, Raw got Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens as champions, tag team champions, and SmackDown got the Usos. Raw got the Judgment Day. SmackDown got LWO. So they were the second SmackDown or the third SmackDown pick of the round. Watch this. The round three Raw got Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez. They were women's tag champs at the time. SmackDown got Asuka. So, yeah. Trish Stratus was a draft pick last year. as if she was going to stay there for a while. So that was weird. And it just goes to show that means nothing, man. Absolutely means
it means nothing. I mean, and here again, bro, this is like the Paul Levesque era. Well, if it's the Paul Levesque era, then let's do something different.
Got to, man.
Why are we doing this ridiculous draft, bro?
You have to do something
different, man.
I hope that, you know, I hope you don't attribute the Paul Levesque era with just some meaningless NXT showcase. That's what I'm hoping don't happen, because again, man, I'm sticking to it. Last night, this whole weekend, but especially last night, proved to me that WWE still has it. They still have it. And so you've already exposed yourself of being creative and having the ability to do it. Now my standard for you has risen, because I'm thinking in my head, okay, well, maybe there's the creative and then the content creation and not really focusing on that too much. Nope, I'm not buying it. They've shown me that they can do it, so that's the standard I'm going to have. We have Zubair, $5. Tired NXT wrestlers showing up on Raw after Mania or ever without proper vignettes or build up. Yep, I just said that. You're confusing your audience and believe people watch NXT. Yeah, I mean, that's what I just said. I mean, you've got a third of your audience watching NXT and you're pretending like 1.8 million people to watch it, and that's bad.
And they're all the same. They all look the same, from Ilya Dragunov to a DUI to, like, they all look the one girl tonight, Roxanne Perry, looks like every other girl. They look like they just came out of a wrestling factory, bro. Like, literally, that you put them on an assembly line, you put them through class, and bang, they're on Raw, and nobody gets over.
And the thing is, with someone like a Dragunov, man, he's been very over on NXT. And when he was in NXT UK, he was super over. He was the one who dethroned Gunther when he was NXT UK champ. And they had a banger of a match, man, one of the best matches in several years. And so I think with proper vignettes, they can make Ilya Dragunov look, you know, like somebody. But the problem with that is you can't assume that he's somebody to the masses when he's only a somebody to the third. And that's just poor booking to me. You have Tony Khan's dealer, $4.99. The Rock just seems like he's doing charity standing next to Cody. We really not getting Roman versus Rock for the championship because of Mark's ratings down. We could get, I mean, it seems as if we're going to get Roman Rock at 41. I mean, I don't know if it can drag out that long, but I imagine that's probably going to be one of the marquee matches for 41. What do you think?
Bro, I don't know. I really don't know. I was pretty sure that they were going to do after this Rock and Cody. But, you know, guys, you got to understand we're working around Rock's schedule.
Yeah.
So that's why I don't know, Chris. Rock right now may have a movie booked for next March, April. I don't know. We're literally working around this guy's schedule now.
And Vince, that's precisely why I said Cody was going to win for several weeks. And you recall, you know, with our many shows that we do together, I said that's the reason why Roman's not going to win, because Rock has endeavors with UFL, with movies, with $7. Like, he's just not going to be around, you know, to even make something spicy here. He's just not going to be around to be available to have a big feud. And so if anything, I mean, it was announced last night, I think, that they're doing the King and Queen of the Ring in Saudi in next month, I believe. Because they're doing Scotland in June. And then they're doing Backlash in France, I believe. So they've got some big pay-per-views coming up here internationally, but The Rock just won't be a part of it. I said, if anything, Saudi and, you know, the Saudi pay-per-view that was confirmed, it could be Rock Cody, just because they want that big number, that they want that marquee match, but he's not going to be around, man. He's got other endeavors. So, yeah. He might not come back until close to next year. I mean, like, if you do Rock Cody, you might you might have to wait till Royal Rumble for that, man, really, because of his movie commitments and stuff. So he's just not going to be around. We also have David Duffett, $2. Dr. Chris versus Gunta next week on Raw. Book it. Very nice. Let's do it.
Very nice.
How would you book that, Vince?
What's that? Dr. Chris versus Gunther?
Yep.
Well, if Sami Zayn can beat Gunther, Dr. Chris can clearly beat Gunther. So I'm putting Dr. Chris over, bro. Oh,
let's go. Yeah, I'm definitely and more muscular than Sami Zayn is. So that's a pretty good point, Vincent. So I'll take it, man. I'll take it. Although I've stood next to Gunther, and he is a physically impressive guy, but bring it on. I fear no one, and I'm ready to fight, man.
So there you go, bro. Do you know over in Germany, I managed the champion who wrestled Gunther when I was over there.
Very nice.
Was very that? many years ago, bro. This kid was a great kid, bro. He was a great worker too. I can't remember his name. Bro, the kid wound up dying of a brain tumor.
Oh, goodness. I'm sorry.
And he was such a great kid and great wrestler, looked the part, had the gift of gab, and he passed away.
Oh, goodness. Wow. Yeah, wow. Sorry to hear that. Yeah. So you don't remember his name?
Kirsten. I can't remember his name.
Gotcha. Well, that's
it was sad.
It's a difficult transition from that. Let's see, we got I gotta give George some credit here. He says Dr. Chris beats Gunther with this signature. So how does that make you feel? I like that as a finisher. Very, very nice, very nice. Let's see here. What else we got? We got Tony Khan's dealer again. Are Stephanie and Vince beefing? Show felt political. Well, Vince is gone.
Bro, I am going to I'm going to be talking about that this week. Bro, the McMahon soap opera is so compelling and nobody's talking about it. I'm going to spend a lot of time this week on russosbrand.com. First of all, I can't believe nobody's talking about any of this. First of all, Chris, you had Linda McMahon show up at the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. Okay? She's not sitting next to a daughter and son-in-law. Okay? Which that right, the fact that Linda shows up and is not sitting by her son-in-law and her daughter, like that right there is like, okay. Then Stephanie goes out to put over the Paul Levesque era, wearing a wedding ring.
Yeah.
Clearly throwing her old man under the bus. Like, wait a minute, bro. What about the last 50 years of this, bro? Like the dynamic, Chris, that must be going on in that family behind the scenes. I can only imagine, bro. I can only imagine. I mean, bro, people don't understand. Vince is sitting back watching his son-in-law take over his empire that he built for 50 years.
Yeah.
He's watch every day, bro. He's watching this.
Talk about swallowing pride.
That's what I'm saying, Chris. This dynamic. I can you imagine Thanksgiving dinner?
Oof, tough.
Tough. Seriously,
I noticed that Stephanie had the ring on her index finger. Did you notice that?
Yeah, she didn't have a ring on her ring finger.
Bro. No, she had it on her index finger. I'm like, so to me, it's like, okay, so you're purposely not putting it on your ring finger. Like it's on your index finger, just.
Bro, I said this. Vince and Linda were separated for decades and nobody knew about it. Not even me. And I worked there. Bro, the only reason I found out was when Pritchard came over to TNA. Mm-hmm. And I met Bruce for like dinner the first night. And he told me, I had no, he goes, Vince, he goes, Linda and Vince have been separated for decades. Wow. I had no idea, bro. This was like 2011.
They've been separate. So decades, you're talking about the early 90s?
Yeah, well, they were, when he told me that, bro, they were probably separated for at least 10 years already.
Wow.
And this was 2011, 2012. And bro, I worked there and was at their house. Mm-hmm. And I had no idea. So this step, that's why people, like I was talking about people today who are so buying into this Hunter Stephanie love affair facade, bro. These are the greatest workers in the world.
Yeah.
If Hunter was sleeping on the couch or living at a super inn, you would have no idea in the world, bro, because they don't show their hands.
I'm really big into documentaries. I love documentaries, just period, specifically pro wrestling. And so I saw a documentary, I think it may have been about Vince, and they were talking about his upbringing and things like that. And they were also talking about his relationship with Linda and how he admittedly, like even to Linda, like he slept with people, would admit that to her. And he did make like an oath to her to be loyal and committed and just to continue to do what he has to do for the sake of the family and things like that and raising the family up. But I mean, he's been unfaithful for years. I mean, admittedly, like it was even given to her. And, you know, Linda's like, okay, well, I mean, you do your thing. I'll cash out on your work essentially for you having to put the family through all of this. And so it's difficult to see. Yeah. We also got David $2. Yeah. How do you revive Gunther now?
Don't ask me, David. The only way I was going to revive him was if there was a rematch tonight and Gunther absolutely destroyed Sami Zayn. That's what I was really hoping would happen, but that did not happen. Why would that happen, bro? Everybody's looking forward to Chad Gable against Sami Zayn in Montreal. We're all looking forward to that blockbuster. I don't know, bro. I don't know. How is Gunther a threat to anybody after he loses to Sami Zayn? And not only that, Chris, remember, Sami Zayn only had to work out 1 week.
Yes.
Before he beat. Let's not forget that. I don't know, David. You tell. This is a you tell me and Will both know. If you can't beat Sami Zayn, bro, I don't know. Who are you going to put him in there against?
I think Gunther's transitioning to the world title picture. It's just how.
That's an odd way to do it, bro.
Yeah.
That's a very odd way to do it, man.
How is he doing that? Sheamus is supposed to be back next week, I heard, and they might revive that for a few months, Sheamus versus Gunther. And so that wouldn't surprise me just to kind of carry him over to SummerSlam era. But I do think there's going to be a Drew Punk non-title just doesn't cut it for me. I mean, I think that there's enough there to not make it look horrible non-title and just thrown together. But I mean, I do think if you put the stip in there, the stipulation, I do think it adds more to it as far as Drew vying for the title. Unless, I mean, the payoff has to be Drew gets the title again somehow, right? Because he had the title for 5 minutes and CM Punk is causing him. Like now the thing is Punk is preventing him from winning the title back. So I think you eventually give him the title. He'll probably win it in Scotland. I think that's the big thing. I think he'll be a big baby face. The Scotland pay-per-view is in June, I believe. So I think what you'll do is he'll probably be a big baby face. I think Priest will lose the title in June, actually, to Drew in Scotland. See, and
like none of that does anything for anybody, bro. Gunther's the money. They should have never taken the money is not Sami Zayn. Okay. And if Sami Zayn is that underdog, then he's in the perfect role of chasing all the time, but he always falls this short. That's the perfect role for Sami. The belt should have never came off Gunther because that's the money. And the same with Damian Priest now, bro. You're going to put the title on this dude that looks like $1 million and you're going to take it off of them in 2 months?
Yeah, but my thing is, I mean, if there's anybody to take him off.
Oh no, but I'm just saying, Chris, like, he's money. Bro, you look at guys and you know who's money.
For sure.
Money, bro.
He's been money. I mean, like, you and I both have,
right,
you know, sang his praises on this show alone. He's a star. He looks like $1 million. He's just been booked so mid, though. Right. Like, I'm still, especially even in this segment, even tonight, like, you're making, the point is to make him feel like $1 million. And I love R-Truth, but you're making him feel like $1 million. And then you do the comedy spot still. How is that making him feel more than mid, man? I don't get it.
I'm with you, bro. I'm with you 100%.
We have Zubair, $5. You guys wonder why WWE seemed to only put effort only at WrestleMania, but not beforehand or after, with lackluster builds and aftermaths. It's a setting and tiring. It really is. Like I said, they have it. I mean, they have the ability to do it, but, you know, it goes back to content creation, unfortunately. We have McDonald's Human Resources. McDowell's. Oh, that's coming to America, McDowell's. They should have. Have you ever seen that movie, Vince?
Which one?
Coming to America?
I never seen Coming to America.
Really? Vince, you got to do it, man. That's your homework.
I've never seen that movie.
Got to watch Coming. There was just another one that came out.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I've never seen either one.
But you got to. Don't watch two before you watch one. Two isn't terrible, but one it's where it's at. I mean, that's,
yeah, I gotta watch.
Gotta watch Coming to America, man. So McDowell's comes from Coming to America. They should have just fired up the draft tonight and went up from there. A lot of these feuds will mean nothing in a few months, weeks, anyways. I mean, my thing is, even with the draft idea, where do we go from here? You know, just because you're shuffling people from Raw and SmackDown, Chris, if you're not doing stories, it doesn't matter.
Chris, the whole thing is, when you want to write, bro, it's all about continuity and being true to the wrestlers and writing in the shoes of every wrestler. Like, in other words, if I'm writing this show, Gunther's not there. That's what I'm talking about. This freaking guy would be chomping at the bit, bro, the way he let this one get away. Yeah. Bro, this happened, what? Did this happen Saturday or Sunday night?
Saturday night.
He hasn't slept since then. Hasn't freaking slept. Tell that story. And he just, okay, he's not on the show. Okay.
Yeah, he's not even like.
That's what I mean, bro. That's what I mean.
But yeah, that doesn't make sense, because you have Gunther not on the show, but he wasn't like crazy injured or anything. You know what I mean? Like, it was a hard-hitting match against Sami Zayn. Like, if anybody should be able to recover from that quickly, it should be Gunther. That shows his dominance.
Yeah.
But he can't. Sami can come, but. But Gunther doesn't come. That doesn't make any sense.
Bro, I swear to God, we did a Raw. I do the Attitude Era review every 2 weeks, Chris. And we did that. We did a show. I watched the show today, and this would have been perfect for Gunther. I watched the show today, bro, where the Brothers of Destruction just came together the week before SummerSlam. So, Chris, this is the first show after SummerSlam, but it's on a Saturday night because they probably had the dog show.
Yeah.
And the entire show was every single match, Kane and Taker come down and destroy. They should have done that with freaking Gunther. And then, bro, here's the deal. Do that with Gunther and let him come down and destroy freaking everybody. Then suspend his butt. Suspend him for a month, a cooling off period, that type of thing. But do something like that, bro, to just not have the guy on the show kills the guy.
That makes perfect sense, because it makes the mid-card filler kind of, you know, life-sucking matches that happens within Raw a lot, it makes it mean something. Because, say, for instance, if you had like Ilya Dragunov and Shinsuke Nakamura, no one's going to care about. I mean, that's why we did it.
That's why we did it, Chris. Yes. Yeah. Exactly what you're saying. Yeah. And what did you do, bro? You had his two jabronis go down there and fight for him?
Exactly. Yeah. That makes no sense at all. Lucky the Truth, 499. I just feel like we are in store for a boring, lackluster Cody title run. I mean, it's hard to argue against that with what we saw in Raw. I mean, really, I mean, now you've got who they so the number one contenders for the World Heavyweight Championship, if I'm not mistaken. So it's going to be Jay and Priest. So does Cody show up on SmackDown now because, you know, they're not going to be with a champion for a few weeks? What does that mean? Who's strong enough on SmackDown to feud against Cody? Why do I care? You know, and what's the setup?
Chris, remember they had that run for a couple of months where he was giving all his friends a shot?
Yeah.
I swear they're going to do that again.
Oh, man.
I'm telling you, bro, because look at the roster.
Yeah.
You put a year into him telling his story. What are you going to do now?
Right. Yeah. What are you going to do now that's different, though? You know, like, give me something different. Don't just insert heel here. And I mean, look, I've seen it enough. I've been following wrestling long enough to see that fans have a very short shelf life with their biggest fan, their most liked wrestler. It's been going on for quite some time, many years with this type of fan crowd that we have now. Mm-hmm. They give you a short shelf life and then they discard you like yesterday's news. And with this constant, we're going to insert a heel here. We want to talk about promos. And then you're doing like a Shinsuke feud and like, you know, a feud with, you know, Judgment Day, pay-per-view match with Dominic Mysterio, just to, you know, kill time, a Priest match. Okay. All right. You keep doing those insert heel hears, and fans aren't going to, they're not going to buy it. They're not going to hang on to you. Rollin 999. After the Vincent J. McMahon era, we had the Vincent K. McMahon era, but now we're getting the Paul Levesque era instead of the Shane McMahon era. Thoughts on Stephanie McMahon and her intro at Mania. What do you think?
That was very weird to me, bro. That was just very, very, very weird. I mean, we just saw, bro, that, you know, the report, you know, a couple of weeks ago where, you know, Stephanie was named as one of the officers, like in that lawsuit. Yeah. I don't know why you're going anywhere near this. I really don't, man. If I am TKO, I do not know why I am taking any chances with any of this stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the defense with Stephanie is that with Janet, Janet said that she knew about stuff, you know, before other things. But when it comes to that particular thing, she may have known of it. You know, I think she was like person three or something like that. And Nick Khan was on that list too. And so I think with that, you got to be very careful, you know, that you don't go too far into showcasing these people that are names in a suit. Although Stephanie McMahon, she's not a huge part of it, you know, if really any big part of it, but it's still, you got to be careful with that. From a PR standpoint, you got to be careful with that.
But I think the whole thing behind it, bro, is, I mean, just further and further and further more separation from Vince. Look, bro, I swear to God, I mentioned this today because these are a lot of things nobody talks about. Bro, I am without a doubt certain, without a freaking doubt certain, Kevin Dunn left the company because he was so loyal to Vince and he knew what was coming down the pike, bro. And he was loyal to Vince. I would have told you, bro, I would have swore that the most loyalist person to Vince, without a shadow of a doubt, was Bruce Pritchard. And there was Bruce last night in the center of the ring, still working for WWE, working for Paul Levesque, hugging Cody Rhodes. So either Vince McMahon is still involved or Bruce was never loyal to Vince to begin with, bro.
Vince, you know what else? You know who else I was thinking about that this weekend who appeared at WrestleMania was The Undertaker. I was like, if there's any Vince guy from a wrestling perspective, the Undertaker is the biggest loyalist of the of Vince McMahon. And with a Paul Levesque era, he shows up in a Paul Levesque era, absent of Vince McMahon in a huge feud in a main event.
Bro, there's either one of two things. One of two things. Either, you know, guys like Taker, guys like Bruce, either all they care about is the almighty dollar and, you know, with Bruce, the power, okay? Or they know Vince is guilty as heck, bro. Mm. They know, and they're trying to distance themselves from Vince McMahon. It's one of those two things, bro, because, bro, I am telling you, Bruce Pritchard would have took a bullet for Vince McMahon. And there he was last night, man, the Paul Levesque era in the middle of the ring. And again, like I said, you know, Chris, Vince is sitting at home watching all this stuff.
Yeah. Taker would have took a bullet too.
He would have.
You know how much of a loyalist Taker was and is, you know, to Vince McMahon. I think it's a pride thing for Taker too, though. I do think the very fact, because if you think about it, his last wrestling moment, his last Mania moment was in front of zero fans. You know what I mean? So I think for him, he still wanted that electricity that comes with being around fans, being in front of people when it comes to WrestleMania. Don't give me a match. Just give me a major marquee spot, you know what I mean, in front of fans, still getting that pop. If there's any final WrestleMania moment per se that I want to be known by, it would be this in front of fans. And honestly, I think that was a pretty good spot for him. I think they didn't overdo it.
Oh, yeah.
The gong, the behind the rock, the choke slam, the dark again, he's gone. Boom. Yeah. There you go. I think that was good. I think it was a good spot. We also have George Alvarez, $5. Is WrestleMania about the fans or is it about giving good little hands to WrestleMania moment? I think that's a really good point.
I don't think that, bro, I'm being honest with you. I don't think, George, I've read this all weekend long that it's got to be tonight because there's so much talent. Bro, they don't care about the talent. Mm-hmm. They don't care about giving these people their WrestleMania moments. They don't care about any of that stuff. It's two nights, bro, because it's a money grab. How many times tonight did they say, Chris, 210,000? How many times? It's a money grab. They could care less whether these B and C players get their WrestleMania moment, bro.
So what do you say about like a Bayley who's a good
there are some people, obviously, bro, they wanted Cody to have his moment. Yeah. But, bro, I'm talking about a handful of people, like literally maybe five people out of the entire roster. Gotcha. Everyone else, they don't give a crap about, bro.
I mean, I've been saying, I understand this from a business move, but I've been saying this for years, man. I'm still not a fan of the two nights, man. Not there. It's not clicking with me, man.
I'm with you.
It's just, this feels overdone. It feels like an all-star game with like half of them being all-stars. It just doesn't have that same feel to it. We have T-Bone, $2. WWE Money in the Bank or TNA Feast or Fire. Were you ever a part of any of the Feast or Fire bookings?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was. I didn't come up with that, but I was. Yeah.
Okay. So were you there when Chavo got like legit canned? Like when he opened the briefcase, that was the big thing with Chavo, that he actually opened up the briefcase and like Dixie actually fired him.
I don't, yeah, Chris.
Like it was legit.
I don't remember.
You don't remember any of the Feast or Fire gimmicks?
I remember the match. I can't tell you any specifics of like any matches or anything.
Who came up with that idea?
I think I took a hiatus, Chris, when I became a Christian, I needed to get out of there. Mm-hmm. Like I was looking through completely different glasses. Yeah. I think that happened. They came up with that during my hiatus, I think. And then when I came back, they were doing that.
Okay. Gotcha. We got Mon Courier, $5. There's no excuse for Raw being phoned in tonight. Russo and Ferrara wrote Raw after WrestleMania 99. That was just as good as WrestleMania 99 itself. Raw needs new creative.
Oh, that's never going to happen.
Do you think they'll ever have a heavy emphasis on the Raw after Mania again?
No.
Do you think
they haven't for years, bro? This has been years now, bro.
But they're emphasizing more on like, let's cater to the fans more though. So if the emphasis is let's let the Raw after WrestleMania be a thing, you can't. It's hard to really earn the trust of someone if you keep letting them down. And there for years consecutively now, we've been let down with the Raw after WrestleMania. And again, yeah. It goes back to we've seen that it's worked with the hype, with Dolph Ziggler cashing in, etc. It's been there. The hype has been there. But I don't know.
Bro, man. We as casual fans have been let down and disappointed. You saw the fans in that arena tonight, bro.
Not the whole time though. There were times where they were asleep. Like a friend of mine was there, and he said that he was in a suite, and he said a couple of her friends fell asleep. Like it was a long weekend.
Singing freaking Sammy song and like
God. I mean that comes with any comes with any crowd any week. It was a little hyper. You know what I mean with the because you have to think about it, Vince. You have a lot of people coming there from international places, and international crowds are huge, especially soccer. You know, soccer crowds are huge with those singing and chants and things like that. Especially when like Bailey would be in like international crowds and stuff, they would sing, "I want to know if you can be my girl," right? And so it's huge, really big, huge European soccer crowds, huge doing that. So they bring that over to the States as far as still having that same type of energy. So they're going to have that wherever they are at Raw after WrestleMania. That's the reason why I think you should cash in on that energy, man, and not find reasons to cause them to lower the energy when they're ready to be.
Bro, do you know how Vince McMahon, say what you want to say with Vince, bro, we have the WrestleMania high. Everybody's on cloud nine. We have the production meeting the next day, 11 or 12 o'clock. Do you know how Vince opened up every production meeting, bro, after every single pay-per-view?
What do you say?
He thanked everybody for the show. If it was WrestleMania, he would have thanked everybody for the show. Thank you for such a great effort. I feel we had a great show. I want to personally thank everybody. And here's what he used to say, Chris. But that was yesterday, meaning that's over, bro. Mm-hmm. Now this night is just as important.
For sure.
He would say that every single production meeting. I get the feeling here, bro, that after that finish of the main event last night, they literally felt like their work was done.
Yeah.
Our work, let's celebrate. Let's go to the bar. Our work here is done. That's what I felt like, bro.
Yeah, that's the feel that you have for tonight, too. And it seems like that's been the same feel for a few years now. Like they've had the record crowds and the big numbers and all that, the press conferences and all that. And I would even say, too, Vince, that with this two-night mania, they're tired. They're tired because you're booking yeah. 8 hours you're and right. then three more.
Yep.
That's right. 11 hours NXT, of program right? in 3 days.
Isn't NXT in there someplace?
NXT. Yeah. NXT is standard delivery. That's that weekend too. So that's yeah. another, I mean, you're talking what? 13, 14 hours of content creating in 3 days. People tire, man. Yeah. And so they're sitting there like, okay, yeah. let's just get through this Raw real quick. But and there's let's
only,
go.
There's only one theory to shoot that down.
What's Chris, that?
Next week's show is going to be just as bad.
Yes.
So they had a whole week to rest, yes. and we're gonna get the same show next week.
I'm trying to give them a benefit of the doubt, but
yeah, I know. No, but no, bro. I'm not taking anything away from how grueling for them it's been this week.
Yeah,
I would not take. I was exhausted just watching this stuff.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I think that's when you just have to think about that stuff. Are we damaging the momentum if for the sake of having another day, you know, that yeah. Saturday, all right, is that diluting our product and making it feel less exciting for the sake of, you know, another day at WrestleMania? You got to think about that stuff from a business standpoint, man.
Yeah.
All right. Let's coast through these super chats. And then I'll have Vince go through the segments real quick. We are at Taval, $5. You think Cody Rhodes is caster for the young and the restless after wrestling with all of his soap opera like crying? Can't believe he did it again.
I gave him a pass for tonight. Him watching that video. Yeah. I gave him a pass for tonight.
That was really nice, man. It was well done, man. It was well done. T-Bone. Should Shane O'Mac return for $2? Should Shane O'Mac return to WWE and be a booker?
No, I don't think so. No.
No. Yeah, I agree. I would say no. I would say no as well. Rollin 999. Only champs who retained at Mania were the youngest champs, who happened to be two of the performers of the main roster in their 20s, Logan Paul, which is 29, and Rhea Ripley, which is 27. Thoughts on Logan, Rhea, and future plans?
No, I definitely think those two are definitely the future of the company. I mean, Logan Paul's a bigger star than freaking 90% of the roster, bro. Like he is a freaking natural. Rhea Ripley is over. You know, I mean, there's no question about that. I definitely think they're two that are the future of the company.
Yeah, agreed. Do you think Logan still, you know, he has commitments outside of the company? It's going to be hard to pull him away from.
I don't know, bro. It's a little different than The Rock because he really seems to love it.
Yeah.
So you know what I'm saying, bro? Wrestling may be his priority now. Like, who knows? I mean, he seems to really, really, really love it. Where The Rock, it's not. It's nowhere close to being his number one priority.
Yeah, but I mean, he makes a ton of money.
On yeah, I know. Hotel. I know.
That's his bread and butter, man. Yeah. So I think that, you know, WWE is cashing in on that celebrity, which he'll maintain because that celebrity gives you leverage. I mean, yeah. And that's smart. I mean, the same thing with McAfee. McAfee can, you know, come dressed in with a button-up shirt, a button-up short sleeve shirt, and you know you just have to deal with it because he has leverage. And so, I can appreciate that. Rhea, I mean, you know, she's the future. I mean, she looks like $1 million, and I can definitely see multiple title reigns coming in her future for sure. Young Reckless 499. Triple threat, Sammy, Chad, Gunther. Chad pinned Sammy while Gunther is down. WWE creates new star. Gunther is protected and easily goes heavyweight title. What do you think about that?
I think Chad is going to turn on Sammy in Montreal.
I agree too. I think Sammy's going to, I wouldn't even doubt if that's going to be the main event since it's Sammy's hometown.
Yeah.
I think Sammy will win. Gunther will celebrate with Sammy and Gunther will, but Chad Gable. Chad Gable will celebrate with Sammy after losing. And then he's going to turn on Sammy. Yep. We have T-Bone, $5. Shout out to my girl, Dawn Staley, winning her third women's title with South Carolina. She's the Joe Clark of women's college basketball. Nice. Congratulations to the South Carolina women's team on winning the college basketball. UConn as well, back-to-back. So they're doing some things. Let's see here. We got Jordan Builds, $10. Oh, you guys feel like it's a wrestling overload. I feel like they can burn people out of the product with so much packed into one weekend, Friday and Monday, with NXT on Saturday too. Sometimes less is more. I mean, y'all are just echoing what I've been saying. Yeah, I mean,
Jordan, I could tell you firsthand. I normally would not have watched WrestleMania, but Sports Keto wanted me to do the post shows. I'm exhausted. I am so freaking wrestled out, bro, just by watching 2 days, man.
Yeah. And I'm not watching Stand and Deliver. Yeah, I just have no interest in it. I know that you won't watch the Bray doc, but
I might, bro. I might. It's just it's gonna be very depressing for me.
Sure.
That's why they showed so much. You know, trailers of it. I'm like, bro, I got to watch that.
Yeah. So I like watching docs while I'm doing cardio at the gym. And so I was doing cardio at the gym today and I started on it. And so I'm about 15 minutes into it probably. And so far, man, just love the history. They're just going back and just doing some really good just history references as far as upbringing and things like that. It's so far really good, man. So I know that they're going to deliver. WWE does a really good job doing documentaries anyway. T-Bone Hubbard, $2. Props to UConn for winning back-to-back. Thoughts? You know anything? I mean, are you into basketball?
I'm just really into baseball.
Gotcha. Yeah. I mean, UConn's balling, man. I'm a Duke fan. That's my team as far as college basketball. And, I was actually surprised they went to the Elite Eight. So I knew it was going to be UConn or Purdue. They've been the two most dominant teams. When NC State beat Duke, NC State beat North Carolina, Duke and North Carolina won the ACC tournament. Then they beat Duke in the tournament and went to the Final Four. And they ran a freight train. So, and that was their first time since 1983 that they went to the Final Four. So, yeah, kudos to them. DJ Burns was a freight train with finesse is what I called him. And it was a really cool, fun ride to see that. That was like the big talk of the basketball world, the Cinderella story of NC State. But, UConn and Purdue were the teams to beat this year. We got the Russell Guy, $23.499. Notice how Triple H exposes the business on Raw and SmackDown. Vince, I know you and Ed never would do that.
What do you think? He's supposed to be sarcastic.
No. I think he seems like he's for real. Like all
is
these
he talking about the scrums and stuff.
No. All these jabs, these little small jabs are saying the Paul Levesque era and the WrestleMania.
I got to tell you guys something, man. And this is like almost biblical. Like, bro, they put themselves over to nauseam, to absolute nauseam. I'm just sitting there. I'm like, okay, bro, you're great. You got 208. Everybody's great. We're great. I got it. You're great. You're awesome. It's too much, man. It's freaking too much.
Yeah. Zubair, $10. Understand honoring super chats, and I take
now that's not going to happen, Zubar, because I can barely keep my eyes open. We've already been on for an hour and 10 minutes, bro. We are not going in depth on this show at this point, bro. With all due respect, I literally can barely keep my eyes open at this point.
So I'm going to read this here. It says, understand honoring super chats, and I take blame on this, but we'll love it if y'all can rip into this show by taking the time to provide in-depth thoughts and knowledge, each segment, interests, and thoughts. So here's the fun part about all this. So we're going to do just a crash course on it tonight. But Vince Russo will be joining me tomorrow on Unscripted Tuesday night. He's doing a Tuesday night matinee special. So, you know, a typical 11 o'clock. So we're going to be replacing Bill Apter tomorrow. So, of course, what we do is we talk about the latest trending topics in WWE and, you know, take your questions. And so we can do a more in-depth thoughts on Raw if y'all remind us, send us a super chat and we'll do more in-depth thoughts. It's only a, you know, 30-ish minute show, so we'll do a crash course anyways. But as far as now is concerned, no, that's not going to happen. With that being said, Vince, let us go through the list there and
yeah, I'm going to go through this real quick, guys, because I swear to God, I'm 63 and I am exhausted from the last 3 days. Just being honest with you. The first segment, bro, 45 minutes, and like I said, you know, free. It's Rock Swanson, and Rock says I'm going away now. So everybody that tuned in to watch me the last month or so, you can turn off your television sets. And I think that's exactly what's going to happen based on this show tonight. I really, really do. We will see by the numbers.
Why was it so awkward to you? And then the fans start chanting that.
Oh, it was awkward with give me your belt and I'll give you my belt. That was extremely awkward, bro. Yeah, I don't know what the point of that was.
Like, I got something for you.
Bro, then we go into Nakamura and Ilya Dragunov. I don't care about anybody from NXT, bro. I could have cared less. Then we get into the Finn promo. They introduce Rhea Ripley and
Damian Priest.
Yeah, Damian Priest. Bro, this show should have been about them. This should not have been a six-man tag, bro. We don't care about the other three members of jury duty. I'm sure that's clear. If I'm writing this show, the spotlight is on Rhea Ripley and Damian Priest, especially Damian Priest, because he won that title. This is a huge moment for him. The spotlight would have been on him, not a six-man tag. And Chris, I got to say this. John Cena's got to start picking his spots, bro.
Yeah.
He is watering himself down. Being a part of this, John Cena? Are you freaking kidding me, bro? You're in there with R.D. McDonough now? Come on, John, what are you doing, bro?
It's like circa 2004.
I know you're a company guy. You can't be doing spots like this, bro. I mean, Chris, am I wrong?
No. I mean, like, at the end of the day, I mean, I get it from a fan's perspective that, you know, this is R-Truth's moment of can't see. It's the Raw, it's WrestleMania crowd.
No.
They're probably doing like a spectacle and things like that. Just one night off. But I, to your point though, like, I do get the fact that you got to Cena, here's my thing. I've said this even when he was SmackDown solo. Like, you can't get to the point where you start to the twilight of your career and it's you start to do things to water down just to make yourself
know. If you're in there with R.D. McDonough, you've watered yourself down. Period. End of story, bro. I'm sorry. Chris, I'm gonna give you a perfect example, and everybody out there who wanted us to dig deep, I'm gonna dig deep for you. Bro, there was a reason why the glass didn't break last night. There was a reason why Austin wasn't on that show. And, bro, I knew Steve pretty well. And I'm going to tell you why Austin was not on that show. You know why, Chris?
He didn't want to be
one of several.
Yeah.
He did not want to. That's how Austin, bro, you talk. Austin is probably the one guy who is more protective over his character than anybody. There's no doubt that they called Rock Austin for this. Bro, the story was Rock and Austin, not Rock and Taker.
Yeah.
But Austin is not going to be one of several. If it's just him, you got a shot of him doing it. He's not going to be one of four.
Yeah.
And then you look at Cena, and it's like, brother, you need to protect your legacy. R.D. McDonough, bro?
Yeah. And here's my thing, man. Dude, you've got you're pooping money, man. Get some plugs, man.
I noticed that last night too, bro. Come
on, man, it's getting worse and worse. Get some plugs. Like, the thing is, here's my thing. If you're not continuing to rake your hair back like every 5 seconds, like, that would be another thing. But he literally does this all the time. Like, every time he gets up, he does one of these gimmicks. I'm like, if you keep raking your hair back, just get plugs, man. There's all types of technology nowadays to make you have a full head of hair now. You've definitely got the money to do it. Come on, John. Get you some plugs, man. All right, bro.
We got Liv Morgan attacking Rhea Ripley. What a waste of freaking time. Indy Hartwell and Roxanne Perry. Who cares, bro? Then what did we have? We had the Sami Zayn sing-along with Imperium, bro, and it turned into a tag with Gable. My God. Then Chelsea Green. It was nice to see Chelsea. I don't know. Bro, isn't the storm coming? Isn't that a Marvel Comics thing? Why are they ripping that off?
I mean, that's the AEW did the Storm type.
But isn't that a Marvel thing? Wasn't Halle Berry that character?
Storm's an X-Men character.
Yeah. Why are they? I don't understand. They can't come up with something unique.
Well, that's how she kind of made herself pretty popular in AEW.
Yeah, but AEW ripped that off.
I think that was kind of like her thing. She was doing like the iced hair type of deal, and
Chelsea Green got a payday.
Yeah.
5 second match.
Safe to say that she's the modern day Santino Marella.
Right? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Then we had the main event, which I was watching YouTube and everything else. The end of this, Punk comes out. I guess he was under the ring and winds up screwing McIntyre again. So Jey Uso goes over. So we're going to get Jey Uso against Damian Priest.
Yeah. Well, there you go. We shall see. Got two more super chats before we leave. Jordan Builds $5. Do you guys think that there was hesitancy taking the belt off Roman? It was a great moment, but Roman's aura and presence were just unbelievable. I miss him.
I definitely think so. No, that I, was, you I don't? Don't? Oh, I don't think that was an easy decision, bro.
I don't think so. I think Roman's ready to go. Like, there was even a picture of him smiling when he was getting
back. Oh, yeah, I'm sure
he's ready to go.
Oh, my God, bro. It's an enormous load off his back. Yeah, absolutely. No doubt about it. Yeah.
We have Rollin 999. McMahon's trainer posted this on IG yesterday. Quote, yeah. Vince McMahon was unable to attend his first WrestleMania. How quickly people forget that without his vision, there would be no wrestling or WrestleMania. What do you think about that, Vince?
That is true. I mean, without a shadow of a doubt, that is true. None of this would have ever taken place. No Paul Levesque era. No my daughter going out and putting over the... None of this would have ever taken place if it wasn't for Vince McMahon. But then again, Roland... Vince McMahon made some bad decisions, bro. He made some bad decisions, and this is what's going to come with those bad decisions, bro.
Yeah, man. And the
Chris, it's not on anybody else but him.
That's true. And if the allegations are true, man, I mean, who the heck has the morality, the ethical standard, the ethical wherewithal to defend him in any way? I mean, like, I don't care about your IG pick if the allegations are true. I mean, he should be blacklisted. He should be.
Yeah, man. I mean, bro, there's no question. No question. Yeah. Vince would have either dropped dead at the gorilla position or dropped dead behind his desk. There's no question about that, bro. Nobody was taking over that company, no matter how bad it get, no matter what you hated, no matter how much you loved Triple H. Nobody was moving Vince out.
Yeah.
He brought this all upon himself, bro. Like, so yes, there would have been none of this without him, but he made these decisions to put him in this position at this point in his life.
Correct. Well, if decisions come consequences.
Yes. So.
Speaking of consequences, this guy used to have a what truth in consequences?
Truth with consequences.
Truth with consequences. That wasn't that one of your segments?
Yeah, that's shows? Patreon, bro. Go. It's patreon.com/RussoTWC. Truth with consequences. Nice. If you guys never been a Patreon member, you can go there right now and get a free week of the brand.
Very nice. This guy right here is Vince Russo. Follow me at Chris Prolific. Of course, follow this guy right here, Vince Russo, at the Vince Russo. Follow my show, Pancakes and Power Slams. Vince Russo's been on there before. We have a great time. A lot of people from here are my PNP followers, and they've came. There's other people who came from here to PNP and say, man, it's one of the most chillest, coolest, relaxed, have fun Q&A podcast out here now when it comes to pro wrestling. I shoot it straight just like I do here, and we have a ton of fun every single week. So go Pancakes and Power Slam, subscribe to that. This guy right here is Vince Russo. I'm Dr. Chris. This is Eliza Roy. Have a good night, buddy. So long.